Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about the need for us to have standards to keep from compromising our doctrine. Let's continue with that lesson today.
And so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now learn to be holy. Learn to be separate from the world, my friend. Have standards. Don't compromise your doctrine, because the body is of Christ, and you are part of that body if you're saved. Therefore, don't do those things because you fear the church or the preacher. Don't do those things because you fear God. Now, think of this in light of Christ's first coming. When you see a baby, especially your own baby for the first time, do you think about teaching that child four-letter cuss words? How to dress publicly so when they're teens, they will wear the G-strings or they'll drink as much as the rest? Of course not. You associate the baby with purity and the hopes of a parent that is always pure and good. Well, it's not different with Jesus Christ. That babe in the manger in no way was coming to give us liberty to swear, to drink, to be unfaithful to God's house, to our mates, to not tithe, or to not worship. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, we read this: "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." Now that covenant that he's talking about there was written in stone by God's finger. And then he says in verse 10 of Hebrews 8, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." You see, the motivation now is love, not law. It's in the heart. It's not stone. It's not the idea that, okay, all those laws written are stone, no longer apply, and we have liberty to do all those things that were there before. No, you have no idea of the holiness of God, the purity of God, nor the love of God. All you have is the understanding of darkness. And when you're in darkness, you cannot understand the truth, because truth lies in the light. Now, we need to get off the merry-go-round of attending seminars, adopting gimmicks, jumping through everybody's little hoop, taking a shortcut to the abundant life. I believe that we are more submitted to many of these little systems than we are or ever have been to God or the study of God's Word. And you may be, even right now, you're paying $50 to $500 for seminars, books, and the pride of saying, "I belong." It's unfortunate. The money changers are back in the sanctuary today. My friend, those things don't save. Those things, those little seminars, those little gimmicks, those little abundant life things that they talk about, their little meetings, they don't save, and they don't make you more spiritual. The Bible says that our spiritual growth is line upon line, here a little, there a little, according to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 10 through 13. In other words, your growth in Christ and in the knowledge of God's Word, you read it, you study it, you meditate upon it, and the growth is bit by bit. Now, we have shortcuts in so many things today, but there are some things that we don't have shortcuts in. For example, when a baby's born, it's still going to take more than just a year to grow that child into a fully developed, matured body. And the same things with our spiritual bodies, our spiritual growth. It doesn't happen overnight. It's line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, the Bible says, here a little, there a little. No, all those things show is that you're carrying around a faded photograph instead of walking with our actual God when we're depending on all these little clubs, all these little organizations that we belong to. You see, the items that are listed here for us in verse 16, meat, drink, respect of a holiday or the new moon or Sabbath days, are things that men subjected their bodies to. And, you know, they do the same thing today. They've got, oh, this is a men's group, so we belong to that men's group. This is a ladies' group, we belong to that group. And so we belong to this group and that group, this group and that group. And we now are part of this new little seminar and that seminar. And we've allowed psychology, we've allowed all of these other things to take the place of our real subjection, which needs to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." You're a servant of God. Now, those things may be valuable in showing a need for pardon and purity and commitment and holiness. But there are things, for an example, a diet, a men's meeting. And as types and symbols, there may be ways in which they can strengthen your faith, awaken emotions, and they may even stimulate thought and convey truth. But my friend, we can become so absorbed with these things that we get off the person of Jesus Christ, just like they did with the law. In other words, our measure of spirituality becomes what we do and don't do instead of, do we walk with God? Do we know Him and the fellowship of His suffering? Are we obedient? Are our priorities God's priorities? For an example, let us imagine that you belong to one of these groups. Maybe it's a psychology group. Maybe it's a men's group. Maybe it's some other group. And you belong to it, and your local church is having revival meetings, and they're having an area-wide meeting for their group. My friend, if you go to that area-wide meeting instead of your local church, you have just spit in the face of God's doctrine about the local church. He said, wait a minute, Brother Andy. The local church is still important to me, and I'm not abandoning it. Oh, yes, but when the chips are down and when it really counts, you have abandoned it. You've gone for something that you like better than God's plan of the local church. Now, as I said, those things aren't wrong, but when you get the priority wrong and you put those things ahead of your local church, when there's a choice between the two, then there should be the choice of the local church. And if you don't choose that, my friend, that is absolutely wrong. So make sure that your priorities are in the right place. Now, Christians should have high standards. And our standards should be above the world because we don't want anything to do with the world. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's pretty clear. If you love the world, God's love is not in you. The love of God, your love for God, is just not there. Now, you might say you love God, and you may have some real emotional, munchy things that you say and feel, but it's not the true love of God in your heart. If you love the world and you want to be like the world and then try to please God, does it make you upset when you see commercials for television programs that are lewd and licentious? You see drunk teenagers, foul-mouthed entertainers? If our motive is love and not law, should we then not want to dress like the world? We should not want to talk like the world and make our music and our worship sound like the world, or pattern the business of the church after the world. You see, Christians should be distinctively pure, holy, and different. In Titus 2, verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, that is to buy us back from all iniquity, not some of the iniquity and leave part of the iniquity in our lives to be a part of our lives and to incorporate it into the way that we worship God or the way we conduct our daily lives. No. He wanted to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. You know, when you're zealous of good works are ahead of pleasure or leisure. And then he adds in Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, he said, okay, this is a problem, and you just keep preaching it, and you preach it, and you preach it, and you preach it. Now again, if your fear of man is greater than the fear of God, if you fear holy living will make you seem peculiar to people, and therefore you're trying to adjust your life so that the world will like you and the church will like you, then my friend, God calls you lukewarm. He wants to spew you out of his mouth. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, my friend, the Christian life is to be holy. It is to be in faith, not in rituals. Our salvation is the same way. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, Jesus Christ wants to give you everlasting life right now. All you need to do is admit your need. I am a sinner. Be willing to turn from sin, that is, repent. Believing that Jesus died for you, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, that he paved the way for your soul to be saved, and he's the one who saves your soul. Believing that, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come into your life as your personal Savior. And you can do that right now, right where you are, by your radio. You can pray. I'm going to form a prayer. They're only words if you don't mean them. But if this is a true and honest commitment on your part, you really want eternal life, and you want to give your life to the Christ who loved you enough to die for your sins and raise from the dead, then pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for me on the cross. I believe that 3 days later, he rose up from the dead, victorious over hell and the grave. I am willing, by your help, to turn from sin. I right now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you just ask the Lord to save you, then write us and let us know. Our announcer will be giving you our address here in just a moment. Well, I see that my time is up, and I want to thank you for listening in today. My friend, may the lamp of God's Word be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation for the Bible. stand.